This is an opera which has roots in folklore and in a story which I imagine is going to be very familiar to anyone who's familiar with Hans Christian Andersen's tales.
Right.
And it is about a water spirit.
Right. Probably even more familiar with Disney's treatment of The Little Mermaid. If you look at the Czech originals of this, it was based, in fact, on Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid. Kvapil, the Czech poet that wrote the libretto, and it's quite a beautiful libretto, I might add, went to Denmark and visited where Hans Christian Andersen was from and was inspired by his tale to write his version, only it's clearly for adults. It falls more into the category of mythology, legends, folk tales than fairy tales, which we associate with works for children. Dvorak was enjoying great success with his symphonic works and, interestingly, with his operas. This is the 10th of his 11 operas. Most music lovers are very familiar with the Dvorak New World Symphony and with his celebrated cello concerto. The repertory is a familiar musical language that is truly romantic in its nature.
And this is an opera in Czech.
In Czech. The poetry sings well, and of course Dvorak's famous melodies are beautiful, beautiful to hear. The one example people hear repeatedly is the famous Song to the Moon.
From the first act.
Yeah. Right. But something that the symphonic lover will appreciate is the beauty of the orchestration. It is wonderfully written symphonic music.
We've talked about what it will sound like. Mm-hmm. What shall we see? We're going to see a fairy tale kind of world. We've got a blending of folk and myth and water. How do you stage water?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of modern language of theater with lots of projections. You're able to create magical and phantasmagorical effects with projections, which can give great depth and beauty. I mean, we will have fluorescent mushrooms that are 6 feet tall, that kind of thing. So when you get to the forest floor where the wood sprites live and work, then you'll have a certain color for the stage, a certain look for the stage. Then when you get to the lake where the water spirits, the water sprites live, there is that entire thing. Then when you go to the human world, which we encounter in the second act, we are on the grounds that abuts the lake of the prince's palace. And that's where the great wedding is going to take place, and it has a chateau. So you see the collision of the human world and the world of nature. So we have the world of nature for Act 1 and Act 3, and we have the human world for Act 2.
Must be interesting to see those worlds collide in costume as well, when you have characters from one area interacting with characters from the other.
Well, you do, and you have to put the humans in some time frame. And so we've chosen, like, early 18th century Eastern European. I mean, this is, after all, a prince and a foreign princess, and you have a wedding party with royal guests attending, and so you have to costume those people in some way.
Sounds like a spectacle with quite a bit to read into if you care to do that.
If you care to do that, indeed. But, you know, if you wanted to bring young people and just expose them to the riches of opera, great orchestral playing. We have, of course, the Louisiana Philharmonic playing for us, and that's a treasure.
I should probably also mention that this opera never really faded from the repertoire, but the Met did it last season. So
right.
This is an opera which is enjoying some renewed popularity, even though it never really went away.
No, it didn't, but it has gained in popularity in the last decade. In fact, the young lady that was Renee Fleming's cover for two seasons of singing this is doing our title role, and she's quite wonderful.
And if you missed it at the Met last season, you can catch it right here.
You can.
Don't have to travel.
Right.
And the performances are Friday night.
Friday night and Sunday matinee.
Sunday matinee.
8 o'clock on Friday and 2:30 on Sunday.
And you can get all the info at NewOrleansOpera.org. Robert Lyle, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Farrah.